This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to I Love Subang Jaya, where starting this week, for 2 weeks, we bring you closer to the people and places of Subang Jaya.
Brought to you by Sime Dabi Property, developing sustainable communities.
One thing that Subangites are known for is that we are so lazy to leave. We never get out of Subang. We are so comfortable in our bubble because Subang Jaya has everything you need.
We tend not to leave Subang. When someone asks us to go, like for example, hey, let's go to even like SS15, let's say it's also Subang, but for us UIJ boys, right, it's like, hey, SS15 damn far away.
Despite being in an urban setting, Subang Jaya has its fair amount of recreational spots, I would say, and it wasn't too much of an urban jungle. It fostered a great childhood, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it feels right to, you know, be comfortable in Subang because it's the one place that I really, you know, I'm really, really familiar with, and I really trust the community.
The year is 1976, a site once known as the Seafield Estate began the first phase of development for the inception of Subang Jaya. What was a rubber plantation, and under sole developer Sime Dabi, it gave birth to a bustling and exciting township of Subang Jaya as we know of today. What was initially a population of about 27,000 has grown to over 700,000, covering the larger area of the original township, USJ and Putra Heights. Subang Jaya celebrates its 40th birthday this year, and the community has been rewarded with a township that's a benchmark for other developers, not just in the state, but in the country. All this makes Subang Jaya a self-contained township, while still remaining an exciting business prospect for many. Exciting times ahead for Subangites, with further development soon to come with the revamping of the Subang Jaya City Centre, the SJCC, the Suave, a 30-storey high-end service apartment, and the vision of bringing Subangites even closer together and improving the connectivity of its residents with transit-oriented development. That's for the future of the township, but this week on I Love Subang, we'll focus on the early developments and history behind Subang.
What you used to see, the little railway station, you know, and you go, oh, got commuter train, okay, you know, you go by. It is a different sense of the place now from even 10, 15 years ago, I would say.
Yeah. Its community and the rich culture and colour it brings.
40 years from now, imagine what Subang Jaya will be if the young generation now, from today, come and join us and give us their creative ideas, their generation's perspective of what they want Subang Jaya to be.
And then the Sime Dabi social project that collected personal stories from Subang Nights gave birth to a Joe Flizzo song, Budak Subang Jaya. All coming up on I Love Subang today, but first up, we focus on the history and early development behind Subang Jaya as we check in with a regular on the show, Heritage Crusader Elizabeth Cardosa, who is the Executive Director of Padang Warisan.
When people say Subang, they mean kind of Subang Jaya, maybe they mean USJ, maybe they mean a little bit of Sunway, you know,
yeah,
maybe they mean a little bit
of,
you know. And if you look at the way in which the township is structured, you know, the Majlis Bandaran, I mean, it's a city. If you look at that and their boundaries, you know, it includes, you know, the highway, the elite highway going toward the airport. So it sort of goes south towards Sepang as well. So you're almost sort of connecting sort of this linear, long, you know, sort of from north to south, sort of narrowish band of development. That sits pretty much between Petaling Jaya and Shah Alam on the way, you know. So you leave Kuala Lumpur, you hit Petaling Jaya, you hit Subang Jaya, you hit Shah Alam, Batu Tiga now, but
Batu
you
Tiga
know Jelutong.
Yeah.
You eventually hit Klang. So it you know it and there doesn't seem to be any sort of gap between the two, a little bit
yeah.
toward the Batu Tiga side. But you know, it is really quite a densely developed area.
Would you consider it as a kind of a connecting township to this place?
Well, I think that when it was originally established in 1974, I think was the date. So you're talking about what? 30, 40 years, huh? In 40 years, this whole, you know, what was a rubber, well, what was a plantation? The Seafield Plantation has been converted into this township. And it started off the Federal Highway. You know, Subang Airport was on the other side of the Federal Highway. And there were all plantations there as well. You don't get that anymore. But on this side of the highway, you had this area that started off as sort of additional housing. I think that there was, you know, a pressure to create housing. And there was this distance, this gap between the Kuala Lumpur PJ side and Shah Alam. And I suppose it kind of felt naturally in there. And Sime UEP, essentially UEP first, kind of took over. It was their plantation. They came into some kind of an agreement. And they decided, I think the Selangor government, the state wanted to develop this area. And so that's kind of how the development happened over a period of years.
Yeah. The neighborhood feel of Subang Jaya represents the core of this place, with several landmark buildings that help create the city's identity. One of the many advantages of living in Subang is the diversity in the community, with the pockets and sections of the township. USJ was the next phase in the master plan for Subang Jaya.
I think that when USJ came up, when this highway that led from, you know, that was south, that led between Klang and Shah Alam and going towards Ramban, Puchong, that highway, when that one came up and then USJ started getting development, there was a bit of a, not a disconnect, but I would say that from my experience of driving in Subang, you know, having to find a place in Subang, it was trying to sort of say, like, okay, right, you know, which highway am I, you know, crossing? And for me personally, I feel that when you say Subang Jaya, for me, it is about this area between the two highways.
Huge.
But not the Subang Jaya of the USJ, not that. I know it's Subang in my head. I know it's Subang.
Yeah.
I know that's part of the city boundaries. But I see that whole thing of the, okay, that's the Majlis Bandaraya. But I still think of Subang Jaya as these smaller neighbourhoods, and Subang Parade and the Messiniaga building, which was very prominent at that time. There was nothing else that was tall in that area. And then along the Federal Highway, you came across this, you know, not quite 20-storey building, but, you know, and it was a world-class building. It was talked about in every magazine, every architectural magazine. They would talk about the bioclimatic building, and the Messiniaga building was highlighted. It was a very, very... People came from abroad to come and look at it, you know, to come and visit it, to look at the bioclimatic design. And that's sort of partly what made Subang as well, you know, because it became that kind of a landmark.
It was part of the identity at the beginning even.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Subang Medical Center. You know, again, you know, a private medical center. You know, you're not talking about government institutions. You know, you start talking about sort of... So it demonstrates, I think, that the people around were professionals of a certain income bracket, I would say. But if you look at the shops, they would, you know, entertain many different communities. So, you know, religious groups, racial groups, you know, that kind of thing. So it was quite a cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
And I think that with the colleges, it became even more cosmopolitan.
And just to think about this master plan, how deep is Subang into this master plan?
The original master plan, I think, was done in the early 70s. And the master planner, the company that did the master planning, I think they're also involved in the KL master plan, for example.
Oh.
Are a very big firm. They also designed some of the buildings, you know, some of the landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, as planners, they had to think into the future. That's what planners do. Planners have to say, okay, if the population is going to grow, where are we going to put it? Where are we going to put it? What kind of infrastructure do we need to have in order to allow for a good quality of life for this population? Mm-hmm. And that's really what master plans are about.
A closer look at Subang, and with the number of private universities and schools in the area, you would have the impression that young adults make up for the majority of the population. But that's not the case, and that diversity is represented as well, with a mix of old and new structures in the development of Subang Jaya.
It is, if you look around at who are the people who you see, but you also see a lot of older residents.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite a mixture, which is actually what makes it nice. It also has sort of, you know, the older sort of the 40-year-old, 30-year-old structures.
Mm.
And then you have the more modern developments that are coming up all the time, you know. So you get, you know, a new development, you know, on the edge of the boundaries of the township.
Mm.
And that new development is 3 or 4 years old, you know, and it's constantly developing and things are changing.
Mm.
You get even along the Federal Highway, you know, what was Subang Parade? It was a very dominant structure. Now you see Empire, you
yeah,
know, that sort of thing,
yeah.
You know, because it's bigger. It's sort of closer to the road, you know. What you used to see, the little railway station, you know, and you go, oh, got commuter train, okay, you know, you go by. It is a different sense of the place that you have now from even like, even 10, 15 years ago, I would say.
Yeah. Master plans are created to zone out facilities during city planning to best capture and represent the needs of its residents. The master plan for Subang Jaya aims to create a first-class city, but at the same time still retaining its neighbourhood personality.
There was a major master plan that created the first part of Subang. You know, SS15, SS16, SS17, SS19, you know, that area. There was a major master plan for that area. And so, in a way, you have one developer, masses of land, that you can consolidate in sense. And so you know where you can zone. You have housing, you have your commercial areas, you have your recreational areas. And because you have a master plan, you know, you have where your schools are, you are able to actually, in a sense, create a city that is well built, you know, that is structured in a way that captures the needs of then its citizens, the people who move in, its residents, or the people who live here or work here. And I think that is an advantage if you are saying, you know, just as a major master plan.
Yeah. On the flip side?
Maybe you don't get as much diversity, but they did, you know, within each of the SS areas, for example, they had different kinds of housing. They had different sorts of, you know, I mean, they had from the single story link to the double story to the bungalows, you know. So there was sort of a range of communities and neighborhoods that were created. A lot of schools. And then, of course, a bit later, the colleges and you know, on the edge of it, Subang Parade, very big development, which everybody from KL would come to because it was sort of a major mall.
It was the hype place.
It was, yeah, it was. And, you know, when it was first created, it was high street, but inside a building, you know, you had these three levels of shop houses, no doubt, shops, but they all had a main road. Subang Parade has sort of lost its prominence, maybe, in terms of the modern mall. But, you know, it was an important sort of development, you know, and in terms of the thinking of its time.
Subang Jaya achieved city status and gained a 5-star rating through MPSJ. But what does that mean, and how do you distinguish the status of cities and the municipal council?
It has to do with population, the numbers. So when you're talking about a small town, you know, a localized town, and then or a village, you know, so you move from that, and that has to do with numbers. How many people live in a particular area?
So if you hit that cap, and then
city. But that's only one of it. Then it has to look with the kind of infrastructure that you have. You know, what facilities do you have? Do you have your education institutions? Do you have your religious institutions? Do you have your social institutions? Do you have your commercial institutions? And all of those have to come together in order to be this, to reach, you know, it. So these are all thresholds. So if you're looking in and around this area, what is called, what people assume, you know, people kind of say, oh, I'm going to Subang, and then you actually find out maybe their address is Sunway.
Yeah, that's right.
Or their address is like Planters Haven or something like, you know what I mean? But it's still sort of part of this big amorphous sort of area. Actually, I think Planters Haven is part of Subang City and the boundaries of the city. And each of these areas, you know, have a population, and each of these areas with their populations have certain facilities. And it is the amalgamation of all of these that you, if you add them up, then become, you know, allow you enable you this area to become a city, if that is what is so deemed. Because it has to do with management. If you have a city council, the city council has a certain set of responsibilities, like a local council, like a municipal council. They have a certain set of responsibilities. You get a budget, and obviously you collect dues, right? Your rates and all of that.
Right.
So you have income. And I think all of this adds up because, you know, again, these are parts of the thresholds. You know, in order for you to be a city, you have to be able to sustain yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you have to have the right departments. You have to have the right
facilities,
you know. Because imagine if there was no school here.
How can it be a city?
How can it be a city, right? You know, how can it, if you don't have a market, if you don't have commercial places, if you don't have places for people to work and live, you know, if it's only residential, then it's not a city.
Subang Jaya as a city has a bright future in an already vibrant and well-run township. It's important that the city is further developed, but at the same time finding the middle ground as to not disrupt its welcoming nature. With further development underway, with new projects coming up, what does this mean for the community and the landscape of Subang Jaya, and how important is the involvement of residents and raising education in regards to development?
When you are looking at how any area, any city develops, any city builds up itself, it has to do with what kind of quality of life you have. So, you know, are these, how well integrated are these new developments going to be in terms of accessibility, traffic, etc.? And sometimes, although something is planned, master plans are great, yeah, sometimes the execution, you know, there are some things which are unexpected. And from a perspective of, I think, good governance and good city management, there needs to be more, I think, involvement of the citizen, so to speak. You know, I think that sometimes we can be quite passive, like, you know, as a citizen, I live in a particular neighborhood. And although there is a residence association, maybe I don't participate, I just grumble. You know, this is not being done, or that's not being done, or this is a problem. You know, and I think that in a way, with any development, there should be education that comes along with it in terms of the responsibility of not just the new development and its response. You know, it has a catchment area. But I think that on the whole, in Malaysia in general, I don't see much of that happening, really.
That was Elizabeth Cardosa, the Executive Director of Badan Warisan Malaysia, on the rich history of Subang Jaya. Coming up, we hear from Teo Tek Hong, the sole editor of Subang Jaya Echo, a community newspaper that aims to be the pulse of the city.
My immediate reaction was, not too nice to mention here, but I said, you know, we are a community paper. Yeah. Yes, we give priority to the community to voice their views, but can you please write it as you would, right, if you were to send it to the mainstream media? Yeah. Don't expect me to just publish the gibberish and the nonsense you write in there just because I'm a community paper.
My name's Daryl Ong. You're tuned in to I Love Subang. Do stay tuned right here on BFM 89.9.
Brought to you by Sime Dabi Property, developing sustainable communities.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong. You're tuned in to I Love Subang, where for 2 weeks, we'll explore Subang's vibrant community, the rich culture, and the bright future of the township.
Brought to you by Sime Dabi Property, developing sustainable communities.
That's where I went to primary school and high school. So it's a lot of memories of walking and cycling to school, being late, cycling to basketball courts, playing football.
Oh, so I was studying in Seafield in USG2, and there's this padang there that I always go there and train, because there's this one uphill slope. Me and my friends will always run up and down to train our stamina for Morenta Station. And I got second place.
Subang has good food. Coffee shops are coming up, like mushrooms. Vape shops as well. It is the trend nowadays. Mama is okay, definitely there. We've got a wet market. We've got big food court like Asia Cafe.
Subang Parade was my childhood mall. I've been there with my parents so many times. And oh my god, Esquire Kitchen. That's like my place. My dinner place, my lunch place. I go to Esquire Kitchen every time with my parents, every single week, just to have a proper meal there. And back then, Esquire Kitchen was a thing in Subang Parade.
One of the reasons Subang Jaya is so successful is because of the diversity of its residents and the community. And with such a mix of ideas and opinions, sometimes the less favorable ones are often drowned out. A man who's looking to bring these ideas together is one Teo Tiak Hong, who's the sole editor of SJ Echo, a free community newspaper that circulates in Subang Jaya. SJ Echo has been running for about 9 years now, and it's on its 107th issue. It aims to be the pulse of Subang Jaya with community stories on social issues like updates on road closures, community and neighborhood watch reports, and the wide range of activities and events around the city.
I would think being the first community paper for Subang Jaya and also probably around the country, and we've been around for 9 years now, it's a community platform rather than anything else, a mover for the community, looking at initiatives and pointing in the right direction for the community itself.
Community newspapers are a whole different ballgame to mainstream media. Beside the obvious lack of writers, the content that he put out had to be not too serious, but at the same time enlightening and representative of the people in and around Subang Jaya.
I was actually challenged to start this community paper. This was in 2007, actually. And one of the things, I think the first reaction I had when the challenge was thrown to me was like, you must be crazy.
Okay, why?
I guess it's because it's never been done in the country. Mainstream media have big boys behind them and everything. Yeah. Here we are, a small little fry in the ocean, and you know, thinking about actually starting a platform. Community platforms are not new, yeah, I guess. I mean, residents associations, community groups have their newsletters and everything. But I think the challenge was actually sustaining it. You find a lot of newsletters sometimes go for about 6 months, and after that they disappear. Then maybe a few months later they come back and everything. Mm-hmm. There's no sustainability. So the challenge in my mind was actually, if I start this, there is a commitment to actually make sure that the paper comes out on the stipulated time and on time. The experience as a journalist is as a journalist, you know, write stories, leave it to the editor to decide how to rewrite it and how to lead it off. Taking on the challenge of running a community platform like SJ Echo meant that I had to do A to Z, everything.
Yeah.
So it's, you're the reporter, you're the photographer, you're the editor, sub-editor, editor. When the paper gets published, when it's printing, you're the person checking the content and the printing. And I do deliver also the papers.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, I do deliver about at least 5,000 copies a month myself. And that's the day, it's the first Wednesday of the month. And if I get calls from people saying, oh, they've got a story, this and that, I will jokingly tell them, the reporter is off today, the photographer is off, managing the editor is also off. The only one who's working is the paper delivery boy. Can you call back tomorrow?
One of the roles of a journalist is to stay invisible and let the stories they write speak for themselves. I wondered how SJ Echo managed to stay relevant and at the same time Subang Jaya bias in his style of writing his news stories. Also, being a community paper, it opens up the possibility of people not taking you too seriously.
Being in Subang Jaya for what, almost 20 over years now, you can't blame me for being a little bit Subang Jaya centric. Everything is around us. It's home. It's home away from home, but it's become home. My family has grown from, I mean, within Subang. And even the boys, I have 3 boys with me, and they've grown accustomed to Subang Jaya. Even the idea of, let's say, okay, let's move, you know, somewhere else, and you know, for a bigger house and everything, and they're like, no, I don't want to. I want to be in Subang Jaya. So there is no choice lah. But I guess it's about having to keep at least one step behind all the time in looking at issues. Because if you were too immersed in the community, thinking the way they do, you would not be able to think out of the box. So as a community person running a community platform like this, I have to actually take a step back to look at it objectively, to criticize, to give ideas on how to better improve an approach for a community project, rather than just being just jump onto the bandwagon and just move on and say, ah, okay, fine, let's go. You know, I'm with you. I don't think they want me to change and then just be a yes man and just write whatever they want. When we first started, you know, some naive individuals would come and say, they write an article to the editor and they use harsh words and even some vulgar words in their tags. And they said, can you print this? My immediate reaction was, not too nice to mention here. But I said, you know, we are a community paper. Yes, we give priority to the community to voice their views. But can you please write it as you would, right, if you were to send it to the mainstream media?
The diversity of Subang's community and the stories of the people are one of the major factors that has kept SJ Echo running for these 9 years. And that kind of reflects in the detail of the content SJ Echo puts out.
One of the factors that made me decide was actually the fact that Subang Jaya is a very unique community. Middle, upper class, people are vocal, people are active. I guess in those days, in the early years, people were less active. Community involvement was still just at its infancy when people were starting to get involved, putting aside time for the community. And that was the time when it was the appropriate time for me to come in to encourage. When people would want to do something, they also want to see themselves being they want to be seen doing it.
Okay.
So we were the platform because I guess even with the mainstream media around, we had too many activities and events, big or small, or sometimes maybe insignificant to the mainstream media that we would take on. It can be a half an hour event, can be a simple press conference of a new bus stop being refurbished or a road just being tarred up and everything. But that affects Subang Jaya. Mm. And people of Subang Jaya want to know about it. So that has grown. We have seen the community then grow. The empowerment of the community has grown to the extent that, you know, people are actually very active all over. Take, for example, the Rukun Tetangga I have in my neighborhood. Even while I was waiting for this for the appointment with you, I already had a WhatsApp message from the group saying there's a motorbike parked by somebody's house. They don't know who it is, whose bike it was and everything. So it's like the police are already in the WhatsApp group with us. So you actually see police mobilizing.
Oh, wow.
And telling you, okay, we've sent a team over checking. As I was walking over, photographs of the police team actually checking on the motorbike and the house, just to make sure there were no criminal elements. That's how it's evolved, you know, where as a platform, we pull together the community, which also includes the local council, the police, and whoever is interested actually to work with us for the betterment of the community.
The vibrancy of the city also reflects on Subang Nights, the friendly nature of its residents, where social circles often intertwine, as well as the bustling nature of the community makes Subang what it is. And Teo labels this lifestyle the kampung spirit.
It is a kampung. I mean, except that the whole kampung, which is if we take into account the whole municipality, the kampung has a population of about 800,000 residents.
It's an urban kampung.
Yes, it's a very urban and big kampung. It's one of the I think it's one of the biggest municipal councils, or if not the biggest. There are a lot of things that we spearhead. There are a lot of things that we are pioneers in, which could then actually be emulated by other local councils and all that. So it's a very modern, high-tech, middle-upper-class kampung, home to people from A to Z. In our neighborhood, we would have big corporate guns around. We would have even senior government officials around. Even in our neighborhood, the former secretary to the government, actually, chief secretary to the government, was actually in our neighborhood and everything. So big CEOs from banks, everything. I think some of the telecommunication companies, their bosses and CEOs are actually in our neighborhood. Sometimes I joke and say, and when I bump into them, I'll just say, "Ha, you're dirty. I'm seeing you do your dirty laundry," because they're actually sending their clothes over to
right,
the laundry.
Right.
And because we know each other, so I'm like, "Ha, today dirty laundry day, eh?" And everything. So it's a kampung where it's everybody tolerates everybody. There's no segregation of who you are, your background, you know, your religious beliefs and everything. We sit together. Running this community paper means being able to actually see every facet of life in the community. I walk into mosques, suraus, Hindu temples, churches, Buddhist temples, etc. And I'm accepted just as one of them. So that's what Subang Jaya as a kampung is, working together as a family rather than just individuals owning houses.
And I guess a result from that is that that's a sense of pride when you're from Subang. You know, I'm a Subang Knight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's something that is already well known, right? Subang Jaya people don't shop outside Subang Jaya. You know, you find that, you know, have you gone down to KL to that shopping mall? What is it that we cannot get here that we can get there? You know, the attitude, yeah? Mm. So there's a certain sense of pride, yes. Mm. We get actually on our online readers, I mean, we have a Facebook page and everything. You find that actually people who are now overseas studying and everything actually follow our postings and everything, and you will actually sometimes say, oh, I miss Subang Jaya. Mm. I miss the food here, I miss the food there. When I posted food stalls from the Ramadan, there were a lot of people commenting and like, oh, I miss the food. You know, we should go back there and everything. So you know obviously that there are those who have actually moved out of Subang, but the sense of belonging still belongs and stays in Subang.
The sustainability and clockwork of Subang relies heavily on the current generation of residents, but more importantly, the younger generation with their creative and offbeat ideas is needed for the future development and the improvement of the lifestyle in the township.
Well, there are a lot of empty houses in Subang Jaya, so we welcome people who want to actually move to Subang Jaya and join us, but not too many. You've got to take a number too, yeah? Adventurous people who actually want to try something new and want to actually move on something and make something really happen. I think that's the most important. The direction is actually making Subang Jaya a very sustainable, happening community. But what we need is, I mean, we have the existing infrastructure, the community groups and everything. But what we want actually to do actually as a community is we want more of the younger generation to come in. Subang Jaya being 40 years old, I mean, can you imagine the pioneers who came to the township to buy houses when it was like more rubber trees and oil palm plantations then? How old they are now? They were probably in their 30s when they bought the houses. They are now probably in their 60s, 70s. Mm. We need young blood to come in to help us move in the direction we want to give us more inputs, to participate and spend their time with us. Yes, we know you need to earn your bread and butter. We cannot rely just on the retirees to help us. But look, I'm in my 40s. I'm doing my community work, my share of it. I can still earn my bread and butter, put a roof over my head, but at the same time, spend a little bit of my time in community. I'm very sure the young generation can, and they are actually very needed in a community like Subang Jaya to continue to actually help us continue to grow the community. And that's what's important. 40 years from now, imagine what Subang Jaya will be if the young generation now, from today, come and join us and give us their creative ideas, their generation's perspective of what they want Subang Jaya to be.
That was Teo Tek Hong, the sole editor of SJ Echo, a community newspaper that runs monthly in and around Subang Jaya. To find out more information about SJ Echo, do head over to their website sjecho.com.my. And with that, we bring to a close the first episode of I Love Subang. If you'd like to revisit the interviews we did with Teo Tek Hong from SJ Echo and Elizabeth Cardosa from Badan Warisan, Malaysia, do head over to our website www.bfm.my, and also you can get in touch with the show by tweeting us at BFM Radio. We're going to close off the show with a special social project from Saim Dabi. They kind of celebrated Subang's 40th birthday by collecting personal stories and experiences from Subang Knights, and those stories were material to be made into a song by Joe Flizzle, a hip-hop artist that really requires no introduction. He's one that's born and bred in Subang Jaya, so he aptly titled the song Budak Subang Jaya.
the reason the song is called Budak Subang Jaya, because that's the name of the chat group I have in WhatsApp with all my boys from high school. So, you know, we used to be tight like that. So there's so many memories of growing up in Subang. But if you ask me, one thing is like the friendships that were made, you know, that have become like family. And until today, these cats are like my support system. You know, all my best friends are from Subang.
My name is Daryl Ong. You've been tuning in to I Love Subang. Closing off the show, the president, Joe Flizzo, and his song in conjunction with Subang Jaya's 40th birthday. This is Joe Flizzo and Budak Subang Jaya.
Brought to you by Sime Dabi Property, developing sustainable communities.
I remember like it was yesterday, the town marched in the carnival as Subang Parade. And I thought I was dreaming. Semua orang keluar raikan hari ini. Now, this feat might seem small to y'all. Fact that we had civilization as long as mom. But like the planes in the Subang skies, we learn to reach for the stars, always aim high. Yeah, they ask me, tell me about the town you from. Come on now, you must already know Subang. We first met when I was 6, Subang was 10. And ever since then, Subang's been my best friend. She was with me when I had my first roti canai. Masih turabi, masih berniaga dekat gerai. Tapi dia tetap gigih dan kerja keras. Belum tahu tak lama lagi dia ada 10 kedai. Kita bersama bila ku beli gitar pertama. Dekat Mahagani nak jam kat panorama. Gelak ketawa dan sapukan air mata. Sampai bila-bila aku budak Subang Jaya.
Where you from? I could be a million miles away from home. Still that budak Subang Jaya. Walau ku keliling dunia kemana pun, I tell them I'm from Subang Jaya.
Where you from?
Masih ingat rumah sewa D17. And my dad's beat up white 323. Ayah dah mana beli rumah dekat 19. Blue bungalows was a tad bit out of their reach. Then the new white terrace houses were up for sale. Got an intermediate lot on 1H. Saw the struggles that my parents went through. Set mak rumah putih lagi cantik dari biru. Bila Johan besar beli rumah atas bukit, boleh dekat dengan rumah anti Tito sikit. Lagi senang Johan nak pergi jumpa Nash. Cross jalan bersama get the school real fast. It's where I went to class and Subang taught me class. Firstborn learn to be a man real fast. Seen it all on the streets, now believe me, I be gone sometimes, but Subang never leaves me.
Where you from? I could be a million miles away from home. Still that Budak Subang Jaya. Walau ku keliling dunia kemana pun, I tell them I'm from Subang Jaya.
Where you from?
It's a party over here, thank you for the years. Happy 40 years, Subang. And here's to forevermore, Budak Subang sampai bila pun.
Where you from? I could be a million miles away from home. Still that Budak Subang Jaya. Walau ku keliling dunia kemana pun, I tell them I'm from Subang Jaya.
Where you from?
Yo, much love, Subang Jaya. Happy 40th anniversary, SJ40. Shout out to everybody that been repping Subang, growing up in Subang. Shout out to all the SJMC babies, SJCC, landmark of the future. And I gotta mention all the spots that we love about Subang, you know what I mean? Rojak 15, Auntie June back in the day. All the school proms at the Valley. And don't act like you don't know. Asia Cafe, Java Cafe, Parang Asam. Man, the list goes on and on. One thing I know, I love Subang. Kangwara cakap gua, Budak Subang Jaya.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.